I am Tova Cito.
And I am Janice Gant.
And we believe our lives should be happy, healthy, and abundant. And that it is our job to get us there.
Every week, we will have inspiring, educational, and fun conversations that will help you live your very best life. Welcome to
The Remedy.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. Happy Monday, and welcome to the very next episode of The Remedy with Tova and
Janice and
Kevin.
Okay, we got to thank our anonymous
sponsor
today. Yes, why can't I think of the word? Yes, our sponsor is anonymous today. They were very lovely. I know who they are, and they're just very giving, and this is not the first time they've given. So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, anonymous.
Whomever you are.
Donor, and we appreciate you.
We do.
And all of our listeners. Okay, so today we are talking about mistakes, regret, the past, letting go, how to get over those kinds of things. And this comes from a devotional that you and I both read. So you want to read it for
us,
Janice?
Yes, I'm happy to read it.
Okay.
Okay, it's called Peace with the Past, and it happened to have been the reading yesterday, which was my birthday, so my birthday month is over. I am very sad to say, but don't worry, there'll be another one.
You still got some time left.
How could have we forgot to mention? I thought of you yesterday, and I was like, oh, her birthday month is ending.
Yeah, so it's too bad.
Well, but you know what? You still have like 5 days. Yeah. So you should milk
it. Yeah. Yeah, I think everybody's pretty tired of it. I don't think I can milk anybody for anything else
you
on top.
You did get some really good gifts.
I did get some good gifts. Yeah. So that's good. Okay. Mm-hmm. The little saying underneath it is, even God cannot change the past. And that's by Agathon. Who, I don't know whom that is. Do you?
I don't either. No.
Okay. Holding on to the past, either through guilt, longing, denial, or resentment, is a waste of valuable energy. Energy that can be used to transform today and tomorrow. I used to live in my past, said one recovering woman. I was either trying to change it or I was letting it control me. Usually both. I constantly felt guilty about things that had happened, things I had done, things others had done to me, even though I had made mistakes for most everything. The guilt ran deep. Everything was somehow my fault. I could never just let it go. I held on to anger for years, telling myself it was justified. I was in denial about a lot of things. Sometimes I'd try to absolutely forget about my past, but I never really stopped and sorted through it. My past was like a dark cloud that followed me around, and I couldn't take I couldn't shake clear of it. Sorry, my eyes are acting funky.
All good.
It's really small print on here.
It is, isn't it? I guess I was scared to let it go, afraid of today, afraid of tomorrow. I've been recovering now for years, and it has taken me almost as many years to gain the proper perspective on my past. I'm learning I can't forget it. I need to heal from it. I need to feel and let go of any feelings I still have, especially anger. I need to stop blaming myself for painful events that took place and trust that everything has happened on schedule and truly all is okay. I've learned to stop regretting and to start being grateful. When I think about the past, I thank God for the healing and the memory. If something occurs that needs an amend, I make it, and I'm done with it. I've learned to look at my past with compassion for myself, trusting that my higher power was in control even then. I've healed from some of the worst things that happened to me. I've made peace with myself about these issues, and I've learned that healing from some of these issues has enabled me to help others to heal, too. I'm able to see how the worst things helped form my character and developed some of my finer points. I've even developed gratitude for my failed relationships because they have brought me to who and where I am today. What I've learned has been acceptance without guilt, anger, blame, or shame. I've even had to learn to accept the years I spent feeling guilty, angry, shameful, and blaming. We cannot control the past, but we can transform it by allowing ourselves to heal from it and by accepting it with love for ourselves and others. I know, because that woman is me. And then the thought, today I will begin being grateful for my past. I cannot change what happened, but I can transform the past by owning my power now to accept, heal, and learn from it.
Love it.
Love it, love it, love it.
So many good nuggets in here.
I know.
Wow.
Really something.
So, Kev, when you hear this, when you hear Janice reading this, you read along with it, what comes to your mind? What kinds of thoughts come to your mind? If you don't mind, that's pretty personal.
But that I'm really bad at letting go of the past, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
What stumps you? Where do you feel like
mistakes
you're holding on
that
to?
Mistakes that I made, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. Guilt for things, you know.
And
like
how does that affect you?
That's a good question. I would say it is upsetting at times. I'll tend to dwell on it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like it just comes into your mind, like mm-hmm. you'll just be driving and you'll think of something that you did when you were 17.
It particularly happens when drinking for some reason.
Okay.
Oh.
I don't know if that's normal or not, but
well, you know why I think that is because you're medicated, so you're less resistant to some of that mm. comes into your brain. Mm. You know, I think a lot of people who once they have a little bit of alcohol or a lot of alcohol, they will express feelings or they'll express thoughts that they wouldn't otherwise have mm-hmm. done. And they've that
good
it's
or bad,
like
probably.
There's a vault inside mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. is cracked open, and then sometimes it just comes out, you know, and it's easier to feel. And I think particularly for men, because men have been so conditioned not to feel mm-hmm. that whenever they get when they're vulnerable, they feel exposed. And so I think that a lot of the emotions that men are comfortable with is anger. That's probably the main one that they can rightfully express and not look like a wuss or think they're a wuss. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. but so then when you become medicated a little bit, then it's a little easier for some of those feelings to come up and out.
When you drink, are you like a mushy-gushy?
I don't know. I guess a lot of, I guess you'd say I'm more emotional. Mm-hmm. Emotions I don't normally like to express or address.
Like
you know?
Sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I still feel like tremendous guilt, and this may sound dumb, for like mm-hmm. the way I treated my parents in my late teens, early 20s.
I hope my children feel that for a very long
Your
time.
Your kids are nowhere near the shithead that I was, I promise you.
I'm actually hoping my children have that problem as well.
And I'm going to see to it that they do because I'm going to remind them every day.
Yes. It is kind of funny that we were
Tova's just coming off a tough weekend with her kids.
We were kind of talking about that before.
College kids that came home.
College kids that came home for the weekend. That is not for the faint of heart.
No.
I mean, well, I didn't know how important it was to establish boundaries. We gotta regroup.
Yeah, you may have to change your locks.
Yeah.
Well, we're having
change a bunch of stuff.
Massive come to Jesus before Thanksgiving. I can tell you that. No, I know that I counsel people who have a very difficult time letting go of their past, things that they did in their teens, their 20s, whether it was alcohol or drugs or to their parents or financially or sex.
Uh-huh.
You know, very mm-hmm. promiscuous. And, you know, mm-hmm. now they live with... Who was I telling yesterday? I don't remember who I was texting. But I was like, it's so unfair for kids. Not that life is fair. But, like, the last part of our brains to develop is the part that says, if you do this, this could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're at college and they have hormones and their bodies uh-huh. work, you know? And so it's like they have access to everything.
For the first time in their life.
Yes. And yet.
And everything is new and young and strong. It's like,
exactly. And that's the perfect description. Everything is accessible to them, and yet they don't have the brain bandwidth to stop the brakes and say, it's that thing in all of us that says, you might not want to do that.
There are consequences for
this. There are this could happen if you do that. And, you know, kids do think they're invincible for lots of reasons.
Well, and don't you think also that when kids go to college, it's the first time that they can, they think they can do things without getting caught.
Absolutely.
You know, mom and dad are
nowhere
thousands
to be found.
Of miles away, and we can do this, and we're not going to get caught, and we can push against our value system. And honestly and truly, pushing against your value system and experiencing what happens about that is what solidifies a value system.
That's exactly right.
Because you just, and if you just take everybody else's value, it's not your own. And you will have difficulty adhering to that value system.
And when alcohol comes into the mix, you are absolutely fearless.
A moron. You're actually just a moron.
Absolutely fearless. So, like, nothing is going to happen.
Nothing is going to happen. But I love that description. I see that so much in Carter, especially. I've seen him go to school, and you know, he's always very much been his own person. But I've seen him kind of establish that this is who I want to be. Anna Prin, I can see her still trying to figure that out.
Yeah,
she's still a long way from. And so is Carter. I mean, it's not like he's a finished product. Yeah. But I see Carter, like, he gets up early. He makes his bed. He's focused, you know. And it's not because of anything that I'm putting pressure on him. This is who he is establishing that he
wants
to be. That's a
value. Mm-hmm.
That's a value to him. Mm-hmm. And I can see the wanderlust in Anna Prin, just her trying to figure that out. But dang it, if you don't stub your toe.
Yeah.
Along the way, you know, you did. We all did. Well, I don't care.
It took me a long
time
to figure it out.
Well, and I think a lot of times what people do is they hold on to the choices that they made in the past and the effect that it had on other people, and they just beat themselves up bloody for it over and over and over again. And when you do that, you're not allowing yourself forgiveness, and you're not allowing yourself to move beyond that. And I think as long as you're beating yourself up for it, I don't think that that solidifies that value for
you
until you let yourself be over it. And it doesn't mean that you would look back and say, okay, yeah, that was okay that I did that. You still might think that was not okay that I did that. And I learned the lesson in throwing away the experience instead of using it as a whip to beat ourselves up, you know. And I think that there are, I think the words that we can use, we, you know, we can say, I could have done that differently. And then there's, I should have done it differently. And that's, you know, when I shit on myself, it's messy, it's stinky, you know. So I should have done this. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have eaten that piece of chocolate cake this morning.
Yeah, you should have.
Oh, yeah, I have diet remorse all the time.
You
feel guilty
about
eating something.
You probably do because of your diabetes.
Diabetes,
definitely.
You know? Yeah, and then so the woulda, coulda, shoulda is only, it's good for us to a certain extent because we're like, oh, okay, it's a different perspective. I could have done that differently, and maybe next time I will, or I would have done that differently if I had understood the consequences of it, or I should have done that differently because it would have been less, I would have felt less remorseful, and that would set me free from it. But if you wallow in the should-haves, then you're stuck in the past, and you haven't been able to make peace with it.
Yeah.
You know, or I shouldn't have done that. Man, I shouldn't have done that.
What times, I'd love to know this about both of y'all, what times, what ages, what periods of your life do you feel like offered you the opportunity to learn the most lessons because of the mistakes that you made?
Who wants to go first?
Tova.
Yeah. I know that answer easy. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that the two really transformative parts of my life that also carried a lot of lessons was when I lived in California.
Uh-huh.
It was, you know, I had left Mormonism.
Uh-huh.
And probably when I lived in Park City. So I graduated college, and once I graduated BYU, you know, my parents were very strict Mormons. I left Mormonism, and I was 100% on my own. I was financially on my own after sophomore year of college.
Wow.
I paid for everything.
You paid for your college?
Yes. I paid for my college.
How'd you pay for that? Did you have a job?
I worked 3 jobs in the summer. I worked from 3 a.m. until 9 o'clock at night.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing?
And it's not because my parents couldn't afford it. My parents...
They just didn't do it.
That was... After freshman year, I paid for my college.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's kind of not cool.
Well, it was hard.
Well, they... And it was incredible because they were very financially well off. It was just a lesson that they wanted to teach me.
But why? What's the lesson?
I don't know. I think work. My mom always like, you work. And there was no entitlement in my house. What their money was their money.
So wait, how'd you work from 3 a.m. to 9 p.m. and go to class?
Oh, no, it was summer. So I earned all my money for the year for in the summers.
That makes sense.
I made $10,000 a summer.
And did you live on campus?
No, I lived off campus after freshman year.
Gotcha.
So did you, what'd you do for fun as a Mormon girl?
Nothing.
Like growing up, what'd your parents do for fun?
Dinner. They went to dinner and movies. Nothing.
Did you take vacations?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. My parents were big travelers. My parents were big travelers.
Did they travel big with y'all?
No.
Or with
just
them?
Themselves.
Oh, and left y'all home alone?
That's right.
When you were in like high school and college?
Yeah, for sure. They left for 3 weeks my senior year to go to Spain. They left for 2 months to the Orient. Like, they were gone my senior year.
Oh.
This is very interesting.
We're also talking about this, like how that's when you could throw parties and
oh,
stuff.
Yeah,
your
that's
parents.
When I had
oh, I guess.
And you said your parents went to Spain. I'm like, yeah, that's a good opportunity.
And I don't have any regret about any of that.
No,
stuff.
I bet you don't either. I bet you were starving for fun.
Oh, yeah. I was.
And freedom.
Yes, freedom. Mostly freedom. But anyway, so I graduated college. I moved to Park City. Because that's where all of the rebellious Mormons go, I lived there, and then I moved to San Francisco, and I never did anything like Craig this weekend. You know, Tech, he went to Tech. He had so much fun, and he was talking about
Go Tech.
Yeah, Go Tech. He was talking about how much fun he had and the parties and da da da. And I told him, I said, I never went to one college party. BYU doesn't have parties. There's no sororities. There's no drinking. I never drank.
How's that possible at a college?
I never drank and I never had sex in college. Not one time. Ever.
Did you have sex in high school?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness.
No, there was no sex and no drinking. That was not a part of my life.
Did you want to be different? Or was it, were you in the mindset of... That would be wrong if I did.
Yeah, exactly. What stopped you?
Oh, I for sure thought it would be wrong. I did drink in high school. Uh-huh. Like when I did do that. Like when my parents were gone, I would have parties. And I did do that stuff. But I mean, when I went to college, I just knew the drill. Like Craig was like, what did you do? I was like, I hiked, I skied. Like I did all the things outdoors, which I loved. Because I didn't grow up in that I grew up in Dallas. So I learned this beautiful... relationship with nature that I'd never had before. So I
that. Were you born in Dallas?
No. I moved here when I was 6. But I was 6 to 17, I lived here.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you went to college, did your parents move back to Utah?
They lived in Utah. My parents are from Colorado. So my parents lived in Colorado And then I was born in New Mexico, and then we moved here when I was six. My parents are not Utah Mormons.
Okay.
They're just Mormons.
Okay.
So anyway, I think my biggest learning was that time, because I felt like for the first time I was exploring me.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, when you're exploring you, you stub your toe.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like,
that's right.
Is that me? Is that me? Mm-hmm. Is that me? Is that me? And then I would say that. And then I would say, for sure, after my divorce, I felt like I was starting over.
Yeah.
It was just a whole starting over of, I mean, you have to learn how to do life. You have to learn how to date. You have to learn who you are sexually. I mean, Topher and I had been married and had sex for 17 years. Like,
yeah,
what is my value system as a single person?
It's so true.
And you stub your toe.
Yeah.
I stubbed my toe.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I started dating Kurt when I was a junior in high school. Oh. And we dated, and then we got married, and we were married for 22 years. So we dated in high school. We broke up a little bit in college, and he traveled around the United States and put himself through school by selling university Yellow Page ads.
Oh my gosh.
He worked at a funeral home, and I mean, he paid for it. He was very ambitious in the
super
and,
cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, but it was just, I mean, then when I was single after Kurt and I got a divorce, it was so weird. I mean, that was a whole different experience of who am I?
For sure.
Because nobody's telling you can't.
That's right.
Or nobody's telling you should. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still had some of my beliefs that had been preached to me all of my life in the Baptist church. But my parents, they were Baptists, but my parents danced and my parents drank a little bit. Mm-hmm. So they were not quite as rigid as a lot of Baptists were at that time. Mm-hmm. And so, but I really didn't really learn who I am until I got a divorce. Mm. So I was 42 when I started learning who I am.
And did you feel like you made mistakes in that learning?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you carry regret about that?
No, I don't. Yeah. I didn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
A time or two. No, I mean, I really don't have any regrets, mm-hmm. because there was so much I didn't know, because mm-hmm. I was 16 mm-hmm. when I met Kurt.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and so, but yeah, no, I don't regret one bit of it. Mm-hmm. And what I do believe is that, because there were really four guys that I dated after Kurt and I got a divorce that I dated long enough to consider it a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I felt like all four of those experiences really prepared me for Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Because Tom was different in so many ways, alike in some ways. Mm-hmm. He was ambitious. All the guys that I dated were really ambitious. Mm-hmm. And Tom was like that. But it was just, so I learned a lot. So it was, mm-hmm.
It had purpose.
Oh my gosh, it had so much purpose. And I was single for 10 years before I met Tom. And so mm-hmm. I built a little house. I'll never forget climbing up on the ladder to change a light bulb and the ceilings in my little duplex that I built across the street from the middle school. The ceilings were 12 feet high, mm. and I was on top of that ladder, and I was like, I was scared to death to change that light bulb. Isn't that weird?
No,
but I had never done it. Mm-hmm. I had never bought housing insurance, car insurance.
Yep, all the things.
All of it.
That comes with being single.
Uh-huh, being a grown-up and single.
Yeah.
It's very interesting because I was, most of the time I was married to Kurt, I was a child in a lot of ways. Mm. You know, I was very rigid in my thinking. I was very, I tried to control Kurt. It was really a very different me than today. But I was acting out everything that I had learned before Kurt because we were so young together.
Of course, right.
You know, and Kurt's father had died when he was 12.
Oh, wow.
And his mother remarried. And, you know, so Kurt totally put himself through school.
Wow.
And, yeah, and was president of the fraternity. And it was cool because my dad was the chapter advisor of the Fijis at Tech. And Kurt was a Fiji. So my dad and Kurt got to be friends.
That's really cute.
Yeah, it was cool. So it was all just so purposeful. That's why... Mm-hmm. I could have done it differently, but I'm really glad I did not. Mm-hmm. And I don't shit on myself for any of it.
Right.
Because
it got you to where you are today.
Exactly to where I am today.
Yep. So what about you, Kev? What times in your life do you feel like you have
that feeling of like, man, I stubbed my toe a lot in this little section of my
life? Oh, yeah. But I would say when I went to college. Mm-hmm. That was definitely the time.
That was your wild time?
Before I went.
Oh.
Once I went is when I started to figure everything out.
Oh. What? So
and I was
what did
already,
you figure out?
I was like 5 years behind when most people go to college. You know, I was already 22, but went to my parents. I'm like, I know that, you know, I screwed up a lot and I'm way years behind on this, but I really want to do this now. And they were like, well, you have to prove to us first that you're serious about it. So I did two semesters at community college. I made really good grades. And then I got accepted to UNT, and that's when I went there.
Oh, my gosh. So you originally...
And moved out on my own.
So when you graduated from high school, you were like, I'm not going to go to college. It's not
nope.
for me.
And then what did you do? My parents made me go to community college, but I wouldn't go.
And then so what did you do? Did you work?
Yeah.
You went to community college?
They said if you're not going to school, you have to have a job.
Yeah.
And
you did
jobs.
That for 2 years after high school?
No, like 5 years after
and
high school.
And you lived at home while you were doing this?
Yep.
Lord have mercy
I
on
know.
Your patient parents. I would.
They never gave up on me.
I would never let my children do that.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't. I have to say, I told my children, they either go to college or they move out and get a job and figure it out. And I have also told my kids, when they graduate, they're not moving back home. I've told them, at 22, when you get your diploma, you need to have a plan, and it's not at 6610 Deloach.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you, after college, though, that was like my absolute biggest fear was that I would have to move back home, like that I couldn't find a job and afford a place like,
oh,
on my
yeah,
own.
I'll
I was
bet.
Like, terrified because I've been there
yeah.
for so long. I'm like, I cannot go back to
yeah.
that now.
And
like,
that's yeah. what your parents were thinking, too.
Yeah, definitely.
He was here for so long. He could not come
and
back.
And I loved living by myself. I'm like, there's
yeah.
no way. But thankfully, I didn't have to do that. So
yeah, that's interesting.
Out.
So, Janice, why do you feel like, okay, so I have, you and I are the same. I don't love every decision that I've ever made.
Yeah, me neither.
I did make them, and I don't carry any regret, shame, mm-mm. fear. I don't ever think about my past, like never. And so I'm not saying I'm I have it all figured out, but that's just not a burden that I walk with. So what do you think, why do some people, like there's this precious girl who was very promiscuous in high school and college. And I mean, you look at her family of origin. She sees me. She comes to my house. You look at her family of origin. It makes perfect sense mm-hmm. why she was promiscuous. I mean, it's like...
Were they overly controlling?
No.
They
were completely negligent.
Okay. Yeah. Those two extremes.
The dad
yeah.
was gone and the mom was medicated and addicted.
Yeah.
And was just yeah. never got out of bed. I mean, it was like sad. And nobody cared for her. And so she didn't care. But now she lives with a lot. And it's been especially difficult for her to forgive herself now that she's become a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because that feels very real to her, having her own children. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, like, what allows some people to let go and not live in that regret and shame? And what is the thing that allows people to move past it? And what is the thing that makes people feel stuck in it?
And why is it always me in this group that's the one that's not doing the right thing?
I am actually grateful because I think that a lot of our listeners are the same.
I think it's easy to dwell on the past.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people live like that.
Oh,
you
think
are
so
not
too.
Alone.
No, you're not. And I think that it all boils down to the concept of forgiveness. Mm. And I think that, like we talked about a few weeks ago, that forgiveness is, if when we're not forgiving, we're still standing in judgment. And so understanding the concept of the purpose of judgment is like a bell. Ding, 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 ding. Something's not right. Something is off. Mm-hmm. So then we recognize it, and then if it's us, then we, or someone else, mm-hmm. we can make a decision about what we're going to do. So it's often that I'm not exactly sure what to do, but I pretty much all the time know what not to do, even mm-hmm. if I do it. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yep.
then...
It's a great way to
so
say
So then I can say, oh, okay, ding, ding, ding. Yeah, that wasn't what I wanted to do, or that is, I should not have done that. Mm-hmm. And then if I can think, okay, well, you did. Now, learn the lesson and throw away the experience and do it differently from this point forward. So then mm-hmm. I'm not hanging myself on that judgment hook. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a practice. Mm-hmm. And I think that, because I do think if we're being too judgmental about ourselves, I do think that we tend to judge other people.
Oh, sure.
And so that is just a gift we give ourselves. And so I think it has to begin with us mm-hmm. and letting ourselves off the hook is freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, I would hate to live my entire, I mean, I'm 70 years old. Yes,
so
birthday
fun.
Month is over.
So amazing. Aww. You're 70. I can't wait to say that. That's amazing.
Well, I'm
super
really
cool.
grateful for it. But, you know, but to think back on all the things that I did that were not me. They were me at the time,
right,
or
right.
I was either trying to figure it out.
Right.
But I don't feel a regret about anything, not mm-hmm. one single thing, mm-hmm. because it was so valuable for me.
Do you think that anybody should feel regret for anything that they've done?
Well, I think you learn the lesson and throw away the experience. Oh, I don't think anybody should beat themselves up for years and years and years about something that they've done. Mm-hmm. I don't. I think if you stop the behavior,
mm-hmm. that's the key for me.
And forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know,
to
I mean,
that's the key. I think that if somebody has like Anna Prin and George were kind of assholes this weekend with their decisions mm-hmm. with my house, mm-hmm. you know, they had a party that it was not good. And I don't want to beat them up. And I'm not interested in shaming them to death, but there are consequences, and I want them to learn the lesson. I'm not interested in making them pay for forever, but if Anna Prin comes home at Thanksgiving and she has another party, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, mm-hmm. That's the key for me, is like, it is so important to me to, with myself and with others, to learn the lesson.
But
and
how
then
many
change the behavior?
But how many times do we have to learn the lesson over and over again? Sometimes we all have to do that many times before we get it. So I think what I want to do is I'm going to forgive somebody mm-hmm. because I believe that forgiveness is the gift that I'm giving for myself. So I don't spend too much time in my head mad or hurting or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So I forgive, and then if it happens again, then maybe I forgive again. Mm-hmm. You know, eventually, if it were not my children but somebody else, I might say, okay, well, I'm not really interested.
You change the relationship.
Yeah, you change mm-hmm. the relationship or walk away from it mm-hmm. or something. But I think that especially, you know, Anna Prin and kids at that age, they're in an identity struggle. They don't know who they are, and mm-hmm. they're trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And so along the way...
At my expense.
I know. I know. I know. And it's really hard.
It's really hard.
And it's and
it's
you can
really
be
hard
mad.
To be a parent of that.
It is. And so, mm-hmm. but I do think that then that's an exercise for you is to... And I know you do. You can forgive the event without giving permission to do it again.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is no permission. And because, because I love you, Anna Prin, and that if this happens again, you are going to have to do blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Or, you know, so then eventually she'll get it because she's smart.
Yeah. Or just her situation's going to change. I mean, because this is my boundary. So I think that's an important part of being on the other side of other people's mistakes is having the, I love what you said, like, I love you. And it's not a but.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, Anna Prin. And when you come home for Thanksgiving, you're not having a party and you're not drinking my alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
There need to be, yeah, you got to have some serious consequences if that shit happens again.
And if you do, then you can decide what that's going to look like.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think it's really important to be okay. I think it's really hard, especially as parents, to like come up with, like, you don't, it's very easy, and I'm not proud of this. It's very easy for me to shame my children. Mm-hmm. I'm really good at shaming.
Well, you probably grew up with that.
Oh, I come by it very honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can really make my kids feel bad and really want to make them pay and understand their behavior, you know. And, you know, Carter's gotten to the point with me, he'll look at me and he says, Ma, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know that I'm overstepping that. Like, I go from you should feel bad about this to you're a terrible human because of this.
Right.
You know? It's not easy. But I think I think that a lot of our regret, my point in all, saying all this, I think that a lot of our regret and shame about our past is rooted in people who've told us a story that not that what we did was bad, but that we are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like for I had a lot of that growing up. Like if I made a mistake, it wasn't like that mistake was bad. It was Tova was bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe some of that for you, Kev, is your Catholic stuff.
Yeah.
Like the shame that you grew up with.
I'm just thinking about the time my dad had to club my car, like put a club on the steering wheel.
Oh, like the police
what
do?
Happened?
My parents like could not ground me. I would still leave, and they'd take my car keys. I had like several copies. I mean, I like it was like impossible. And then
you
eventually, one day, I got in my car, and there was a club on the wheel, and I was like, "Shit!" I actually tried to get it off with like a hacksaw. You cannot cut through those things. Like, I was stuck. Wow. I'm just like, God, well, I can't believe I pushed them that far. Like, what?
Wow, they were done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just one. I got a million stories like that.
So do you think that your parents did a good job of, like, do you think that some of your shame around that is, like, and I know your parents are lovely parents. I'm not trying to.
I think they're doing everything they could.
Yeah.
You know?
But do you think that there was a little bit of shaming on their part? Like, what do you think that you're.
Yes,
you're,
I'm sure. That
you're
yeah.
holding on to this is they're saying, like, not what you. Well, not what Kevin did was bad, but Kevin is bad.
It was like all those years of like what you're not supposed to. That's the thing in Catholicism. There's a lot of telling you how you're supposed to live your life. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
And when you finally realize, like, I don't have to do that anymore, it's like,
yeah.
You're.
Yeah.
Are your parents okay that you're not Catholic? Are they upset about it? I know I've asked that before, but I forgot the answer.
I don't know. Okay. I think there's probably a little bit of disappointment there still.
Yeah. Oh, my.
But they never say anything to
me about
it. My
dad's for sure upset that, and my mom, if she was alive, she would still be very upset that I'm not Mormon.
I remember they were surprised when I said that I wouldn't have a Catholic wedding, and they were like, why not? I'm like, because I'm not a practicing Catholic. Like, I haven't been for a long time.
Yeah. So do you have any bad feelings about that? Do you feel bad that you're not a practicing Catholic?
No, because that's the thing. I realized as I got older in life that on my own, I have a pretty good moral compass.
Oh,
I,
sure
I know
do.
Good, right, and wrong. I don't need to be told how to live, you know, and I don't necessarily need to do those things.
Sure.
So,
well, nowhere is it said we have to go to church.
Yeah.
We don't have, you don't have to be in the Catholic.
Or belong to a certain denomination.
No, mm-hmm. No.
There weren't even denominations.
Which I would
when
like
Jesus
to, honestly.
Here.
I would like to select something, you know what I mean? Because I don't want, I don't know, I don't want to raise my children without religion or spirituality, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I do.
I want there to be some sort of structure there.
Yes, I did too. I mean, that was really important to me. But it was also very important to me that I picked a faith that was a non-shaming faith.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Because that damaged
you'd been shamed.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if a lot of that for a lot of people, that like the guilt and the shame that they carry from their past is rooted in a voice from the past that told them, if you do these things, then it's like I've done a lot of bad behaviors, but I am not bad.
Well, I think so. I think it all boils down to parenting.
Yeah.
I think that there are so many parents who have been raised by parents who are shaming mm-hmm. and think that you're bad. And that's, you know, that's kind of the cusp of all of it.
Yeah.
But if you can, shifting that is really very simple. It's a matter of looking at it and thinking, my behavior may be atrocious on any given occasion, but I am a child of God, therefore I am good.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. It all boils down to that very concept for
me. It does. Me too.
You know, and I'm like, okay, you know, that's cool. And then, you know, and then I think most of the time, if we don't, I think a lot of times what shame does is it perpetuates the behavior because it's so uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but if we can forgive ourselves and say, oh gosh, I could have done that differently. Next time I really am going to do that differently. Then it's easier for us to let ourselves off the hook, and therefore it's easier for us to let others off the hook.
Absolutely.
And I want everybody who has ever harmed me, I have let them off the hook.
Yeah, me too.
I do not ruminate about that.
No, me neither.
At all.
At all. Me neither.
And because I'm not going to do that to me.
Yeah.
Because it's a resentment, and I personally believe it causes cancer.
I do too.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with that.
It does kind of bum me out. I think we actually talked about this, about how my niece was born like 6 months ago and how in our family and everything, godparents are really important.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
And the obvious choice for them would be me and Elise to be her godparents. But it turns out, and this is new, you have to be a confirmed practicing Catholic in order to be a godparent. The church won't allow you to do it anymore. Which it wasn't like that before, because
none of my
godparents were Catholic.
I was a godparent of Catholic children.
Yeah, it did not used to be a rule.
Oh.
And that really bummed me out.
It seems like it's going backwards.
It does. And I don't know who they're going to choose now. I'm like, we don't know any other like active practicing Catholic family, friends that are close,
that's
you know?
Horrible.
It's weird, yeah.
What a ridiculous rule.
And
it's
of
just
course
so, it's too legalistic.
And I would observe it. Like, I would be there for all of her, you know, baptism, first
of
communion,
course.
All that
of course
stuff.
She would.
Like, that just, I don't know. I think it's kind of.
You know, I think about what the doozy that religion has done.
Mm-hmm.
Catholics make everything hard, difficult.
A lot of religions do. I don't think it's just special to Catholicism.
No, you're right.
I remember when I was growing up. So in the Mormon religion, on Sundays, you take, they call it sacrament. It's communion,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they pass the it's water and bread. It's not even grape juice. It's water and bread, but it represents the blood and body and blood of Jesus Christ, and who died for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be absolved, so that we can go to heaven. Okay? This is why Jesus came, right?
Mm-hmm.
To absolve us, to allow us to let go of our mistakes. And yet, if you are Mormon and you make a mistake, and I'm talking about like when I'm in like 11th grade and so-and-so touched my boob on Friday night, I've got to go talk to the bishop and tell him that so-and-so touched my boob, and now I can't take communion. I can't take the sacrament for at least 2 or 3 weeks. So I need to go to church, sit next to my family, and I can't partake in the very thing that Jesus came to give me so that I didn't have to carry this around. It makes no sense to me. Like, no sense to me. If you do something really bad,
How do you differentiate?
Yeah, what that is, you can be excommunicated from the Mormon Church and Catholicism. And if you are excommunicated, you can't take communion. You can't pray. You can't volunteer at the church. You're pretty much ostracized from, you can just go to church. You can sit in a pew and that's it, and shut your mouth. You're not allowed to like talk. You had no value as a human. It's so shaming. And
extremely.
And yet so many, I mean, I know Mormons. I know that there's all kinds of different religions that have their same version of this. And I mean, if you think about it and you look at it on measure, this is why. So like it's not only, I think, a parenting issue. My parents did it because of Mormonism, because that's the religion. I mean, it was monopolizing in our home. That we were Mormon.
Yeah.
That we were Mormon before we were anything else.
Yeah.
But it's like, how does anybody have a chance with that?
Well, it's just it creates,
there's a lot of that.
Well,
it just
creates, to in my opinion, it's the absolute opposite of a loving God.
Exactly.
You know,
and that's whole point.
I don't believe that there is a heaven and a hell. I don't believe that.
Yeah, I know you don't.
And I believe that it is what we live here. Mm-hmm. You know, that mm-hmm. it is, I think that every human that walks the earth is a child of God.
I do too.
You know, I was thinking the other day about Putin.
Yeah. Wow.
And I know.
I don't think about Putin.
I was thinking about Putin, not like with my body. I wasn't thinking about
you
that
Putin. You were thinking
Putin.
About the man.
I was thinking about the man Putin. And I thought, and I was so frustrated with him. And then I thought, you know what, Janice? He is a child of God exactly like you. And I visualized Putin.
As a baby?
No, I visualized him as a man, and I visualized him surrounded with love. And I thought, I can't control Putin.
Nobody can.
I mean, it's like I'm 8 years old because I like saying that word, Putin.
You are like a teenage boy right now, and like you're telling fart jokes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I thought,
really lovely. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet
I
with
know.
That.
I know. I think his behavior is atrocious, yeah. And I just
I can't do that.
But you know why? Because it was eating at me. Mm. It was eating. Mm. I was thinking about it a lot, and I was like, okay, well, why don't you get off your high horse and let's just surround him with love. Wow. And I thought
actually think you're better than him,
Putin. Okay, I'm through saying that word. Oh, goodness. Anyway, I think it's just interesting, and I think it is I think that it's important for people, and I think it's really freeing for people to not allow the past to define the present, and certainly not the future.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll steal your joy.
It will steal your joy. That's right.
It is a joy stealer.
And we are...
Definitely.
That is created to experience joy.
Yeah, for sure. That's my biggest motivator is I can't change it. You
right.
know, like there's nothing I can do. I don't love every decision that I've made, but I can't change any decision that I've made. And so I've had to make peace with others.
Mm-hmm,
I've had to
me
make
too.
Peace with myself. And then I just make a commitment. I think what you said is really important, that we change the behavior. We mm-hmm. learn the lesson mm-hmm. and change our, you know, change course.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that if you just keep repeating bad behavior, you kind of lose.
Well, I just think if you keep repeating behavior that is not within your value system, eventually it'll bite you.
Yeah,
because it'll affect your joy.
Yeah, it will.
And so
it's affected mine when I was not living within my value system.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And yeah, so.
It really does affect you. And getting out of it and moving toward a better version of me mm-hmm. and more evolved. But you know, Kev, I hope that for you and for... I'm sure a lot of our listeners who live with a lot of regret and think about it, and it does steal their joy. I really, because I look at you, Kev, and I'm thinking, and I'm sure that I would say this to
most of our listeners who are in the same camp, like, you have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of as a human. Like, the way that you are is amazing. You know, you're a great husband. You are a really good provider. You are here every Monday at 1 o'clock ready for us to record. Like, you have just evolved into a lovely human. And were you a punk? Yeah. But it's like, if you weren't a punk, you wouldn't be you, you know? And like that salty side of you that we all love, that's like so amazing and so human and so many people relate with, is like that, all of that, you're just a sum of all your parts. And without those parts, you wouldn't be the cool, amazing Kevin that we all know. And
thank you. You're making me blush.
Well, it's
no,
true.
No, it's true. And you know, I think that you can look at those, we can all look at the things of the past and realize that it was never who we were. It's just what we did. And yes, you can write that down. I have people make tear up little pieces of paper, write it down, mm-hmm, put it in a metal something and burn it and realize that that's over. It's gone. And you're not going to breathe the smoke. You're not going to go, you know, it's like done.
Yeah.
So that you have been set free. Because we are within ourselves good. Absolutely. As good as anybody that's ever walked the earth.
Yeah.
So
I totally agree with that. Yeah. And nobody is better.
Well, nobody's without behaviors that they, I mean, nobody's perfect. And that's, you know, and that was by design. Because if I could do it perfectly, I wouldn't need you, I wouldn't need Kevin, and I wouldn't need a dog.
Well, and you'd be really annoying.
And I would not need a God.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was by design.
Uh-huh.
100%.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So, learn the lesson, throw away the experience, and for God's sakes, forgive yourself.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah, stop shitting yourself, for God's sakes. It's gross.
It is gross.
Y'all have an amazing week.
Thank you for listening.